This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Hey, this is Dave from Star Wars in Character. Today I have the pleasure of talking with Ricardo Silvestri all the way from Portugal. Bem-vindo, Ricardo.
Wow, good. Very good intro with that bem-vindo.
How was my pronunciation?
It was not only good, but you got my name right, which for everybody was listening for the first time, I was in the United States for 4 years. And the one thing that was funny is that my American friends never got especially my last name correctly. So you did. It's Silvestre. Good. Everybody would say Silvestri. And I was like, yeah, all right. Well, it's not Silvestri Stallone, but...
That would we'll be manage. Cool, though. That's not a bad thing to hang on to.
Well, at least the only thing that I don't want people to call me, it's Ricky Ricardo. That is definitely no.
Well, good. I went on and found... I'm trying to find how to say welcome in these countries, and I'm listening to the pronunciation over and over on Google, and I'm like, I got to get this right.
Bem-vindo. You hit it in the nail.
Good.
Because also, not only for Portugal, but for all your Brazilian, and even in Africa, like Angola and Mozambique, all the... You know, the countries that have as official language Portuguese, bem-vindo will work for all those populations.
Beautiful. That's all. That's the only thing I was worried about. So now that that's out of the way, it's all downhill from here. Well, this is what will be really the second installment in what I'm calling Star Wars Around the World. It started with Tim Vierkoven in Belgium, and we're jet-setting from Belgium to Portugal. To speak with
the Outer Rim, then
we're gonna go over the world. We're gonna Indiana Jones this sucker and have the red line going all around the world.
Actually, that's I know that we're talking Star Wars, but that's a great idea for you also to pursue Indiana Jones around the world. I think that's an awesome idea. Also,
that's not a bad idea. I do like that idea. Well, I've been trying to, and we were talking before we started recording that. I'm interested in, and I hope other people are, and I think they are, in trying to get a global perspective on Star Wars. So this is sort of a mini series of special episodes. And like I said, I'm really happy to talk to you again today because we've spoken many times in the past as well. So my main question for you is, this is putting you in some... with heavy responsibility. You have to speak for your entire country. Are you okay with that?
I'm perfectly fine with that. I have large back, so I can take a lot of load, so no problem.
Okay, good. What is there a common, and you can certainly speak for yourself, but like I said to you before, if there is a common perception of Star Wars in Portugal, I would love to know it. And I'm starting way back. And for people our age, it's getting farther and farther back.
Don't remind me, please.
In the late 70s into the early 80s, what was the initial reaction of Star Wars in Portugal?
That is a great starting point because Portugal in the late 70s, beginning of 80s, we were very much in the infancy of a culture development here in this country. We had a dictatorship until 1975. Then finally we opened our doors for other stuff than the one that was like sanctioned by the dictatorship. So we started to get a lot of American stuff also from Britain. I remember, like, for example, we watched Monty Python and try to understand what the hell was going on there. Can we curse?
Absolutely. Please curse.
At the time, we had, you know, like TV shows from America, like Dallas, for example. I remember that one. And we also started to get some movies from America. So we were primed, actually. It was a wonderful question that you just did, because we were primed for a wow moment. And that wow moment was exactly Star Wars or A New Hope. Mm-hmm. So when that get here, everybody just went bananas. Everybody was crazy about it. Not only it raised like the level of entertainment, but also the level for demand of entertainment, because we didn't know better.
Right.
And then also, especially on science fiction, and even if there's this discussion that Star Wars, it's not really science fiction, it's more like a space opera. But regardless of that, we had like really, really insipid movies regarding like adventure and science fiction and, you know, feel the eye kind of amazement and even special effects at the time. They were like kick-ass, of course. So people went, people were completely blown out of the water, and we couldn't believe what we were seeing. And of course, an entire generation was affected because of that. And then later when Empire Strikes Back came, then it was like the consolidation of all that was just setting on stone. This is the greatest thing ever. Of course, then we started having other movies. Like I remember, for example, Terminator. When Terminator got here in Portugal, we were like trying to compare how much of the wow effect was Star Wars with Terminator. So it was. I end by saying that it was the beginning of something really, really big. Okay. Not only for Star Wars, but also for entertainment and culture.
Just in general for the country.
Yes.
Okay.
A breakthrough moment. I'll dare to say.
What I know you and I have spoken other times, and you told me that not all, but several people, and this probably goes for countries around the world, several people in your country learned how to speak English so well by watching American television and movies. Do you still think that's the case?
I still think that's the case, and it still goes on today. Because in Portugal, we never transitioned to have movies dubbed. We have subtitles.
Okay.
So again, my English, getting back to the beginning of our conversation, I did spend 4 years in America, but before I went there, I already had this English that I'm talking to you right now. And as 80% of the population that now has at least 20 years old, they're 20 or until 40, from 20 years old to 40 years old, you will easily find someone in the street that if you talk to them in English, they will respond very easily and probably with an American accent. You actually have to fight very hard to not get an American accent because, you know, there are contrarians everywhere. So there's a lot of people that say, oh, I don't like the American accent. I prefer the English accent.
Yeah.
And then they'll try to develop well, by watching like Doctor Who and so on and so forth. But yes, answering your question, and that also gave us an extra enjoyment because there's this little quirks in the movies that if you understand English well, it'll give you more enjoyment than just reading the subtitle from some translator here in Portugal that didn't grasp the nuance of that expression. Even nowadays when I watch the movies, sometimes I'm like, ha! I didn't saw that one. No, that's funny.
Yeah. So some things do get lost in translation from any culture to any other culture. So that is good to have that background.
Let me give you an example, like one that it's everybody will recognizing the scruffy looking. Who's scruffy looking?
Mm-hmm.
I remember at the time we were like, the translation, I don't even remember the translation, but the translation really didn't make, really didn't give the credit of that moment, you know, the who's scruffy looking. And I remember later on watching the movie and then having, you know, my English developed, I was like, oh, that's a great line. And Harrison Ford delivers it very well. And I remember at the time there was a couple of things because we were not mature enough, let's call it that way. And then later on, when Empire Strike Back and Return of the Jedi came, then people were very much more prepared for the enjoyment. And especially with the Return of the Jedi, then everybody was just like on pins and needles, right, waiting for the end of the saga.
You bring up a good point, and I hadn't even thought about this. And it's one of the things that I'm glad to learn as I do these series of shows, is that I would think that translation from English to any other country would be much harder to accomplish with comedy And there are comedy. There's a lot of comedic moments in Star Wars. I mean, it's easy to probably translate, hey, run to the ship or look out and, you know, like all that kind of stuff. But yes. For that scene that you brought up, she's stringing along, I don't know how many, 5 or 6 insults, and all the other ones sound really bad. And the one he's offended by
is scruffy looking.
So that's the joke. I mean, he's not offended by anything out. He picks the one little thing out, and that's what he's offended by. I could see that getting totally, a joke like that getting totally lost.
Yes, indeed. Okay. And you see the excellent delivery, but you think to yourself, that was not funny. Because the translator, he wrote something in Portuguese that it didn't make justice to the line. So right. That was a good thing. But let me also say, for the sake of Portugal and defending Portugal as much as I can, that in time, like in the 80s and the 90s, translators start doing a really, really good job. And the difference start getting more and more smaller. But still, even today, sometimes, especially like, for example, the titles of the movies, mm-hmm. you go like, what the hell? who's translating this?
Right.
But it's also because of the culture. Sometimes they'll have to try to adapt not only what translator of what the character is saying, but also, like, for example, the name of the movies, they'll try to give a little twist so that Portuguese people will understand better. And it's totally not necessary because, like, again, not only everybody speaks English, but everybody knows American and enjoys what comes from the United States for entertainment.
Right. Well, I can just picture children running around in Portugal because they're learning English from The Empire Strikes Back, calling each other Nerf herders.
Like one of our favorite memes here in Portugal, actually, it's a trap.
Right.
Everybody says that, and it's hilarious because again, now we can make several jokes like what's a tarp.
Right.
Now, in the 80s, if you tried to make that kind of language trick, compare trap with tarp, we would be like, what? what are you talking about?
Right.
Now everybody knows, oh, yeah, it's a tarp. Sure, everybody knows what a tarp is. So again, and also because of internet and more access to American television and movies and even like, for example, books and TV shows and so on and forth, now we're much more sensitive to that kind of comedic nuances or, like, for example, you know, trying to poke fun with this particular aspect of Star Wars. In the 90s, probably you wouldn't understand why people would do it. And now we do.
Right.
Let me give you an example, a good one, like the Christmas special. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the Christmas special here in Portugal. It never broadcasted on Portuguese television.
Okay.
And I was listening to the podcast, for your guys' podcasts, Star Wars in Character, mm-hmm. and then you had this special episode about the Christmas special, and I remember, I think it was you that said it, stop right now the podcast, go watch it on YouTube, because it's there, and then come back so that you can join the fun. And yeah. It was exactly what I did. I stopped the podcast, I went to YouTube, I saw it, and then I came back. This was not possible, like, 10 years ago or something like that. So
yeah, you're absolutely
it's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how things change, especially as we become older, unfortunately.
But now, like, if 10 years ago, people, an American friend would come to Portugal and say, you like Star Wars? Oh, awesome. Have you ever seen the Christmas special? I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
where can I find it? Well, not in Portugal, of course.
Yeah, it would have been the. I mean, that's the way even 10 years ago it would have been here. Because
true,
Chris and Tim from our show go to a lot of conventions, and every once in a while I would go along with them, and there would be people that would sell hard to find DVDs, or even back before DVDs, videotapes, mm-hmm. of things that you can't find or things that were banned or never released, that kind of stuff. And that's where, and Tim would be often like the guy, I got to find, you know, the pilot episode of this TV show that aired once. And it was like, all right, Tim, take it easy. you know, but that's the kind of stuff, even before YouTube here, that people in this country were doing. It was like, you got to find that. And if you found it and you got a copy of it, you probably paid a lot for it. and it was precious to you.
True.
So
the other thing, I think maybe it's one of your questions, but in Portugal, a funny thing that it'll be interesting as I listen to other podcasts from other people around the world, we don't have a cult following as developed as I can understand it is in the United States, especially mm-hmm. with the figures, expanded universe, and books.
Okay.
It's just the movies. Even we actually talked about this when we had the movie, the Clone Wars movie. Mm-hmm. There was this big suspicion by the Portuguese people. We're like, what is this? Is this like overreach? It's just scraping, you know, the bottom of the pan, you know, trying to get as much money as possible, because we didn't know the TV show in America, Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what that was. So it was not a big success in Portugal, the movie, the Clone Wars, because people were like really, really suspicious that if I go see this, maybe I'll get, you know, disappointed. It's going to feel like exploitation. So I'm not going.
That's interesting.
And, yes.
That's actually the viewpoint that I've always held. So based on what you're saying, I think I'm Portuguese.
Who knows? Maybe some of your genes came from Lusitania.
Maybe. No, that's a good point, because it's a total opposite here. I mean, if you can do anything and put the word Star Wars on it, people eat it up with a spoon over here, and it's like there's never the pan that you're talking about scraping the bottom of is never ending here.
Actually, it's the barrel. But I'm
yeah, I know what you mean. and maybe things will change with the Disney acquisition, mm-hmm. because they're trying to really pigeonhole what is Star Wars and really take a grasp of the name and the brand and all that kind of stuff. But up until now, the boundaries were limitless, as mm-hmm. we've talked about on Star Wars and character a lot. Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you about that kind of stuff. Like, and I think I remember you telling me that. But like, you watch the movies, and they're movies, and that's good enough for you.
That's good enough, yes.
I like that.
You really have to be like, there's like a really small, you know, minority of people that created, you know, groups in Portugal, like some of you have in the United States, like the ones with the, like, for example, the Clone Troopers. Mm-hmm. I'm now, you know, missing the name of it. It's the...
There's the 501st Legion.
Exactly, thank you.
And the Mandalorian Mercs, exactly. And there's a Rebel...
Well, not the Mandalorian Mercs, but the 5100.
Right.
It exists in Portugal, but it's a really, really tiny sliver.
Okay.
However, what we had, especially during the 2000s, was as we starting to get more and more venues for entertainment, meaning, again, we had a long time to recover from the dictatorship. So for a long time, from 75 to 90... there was nothing to be seen. There was no concerts. There were no like big shows, like no Comic Cons and so on and so forth. So we actually had to wait until the 2000s to start getting that kind of stuff. The moment that we start adding like Star Wars, for example, exhibitions with all the stuff from the movies, then everybody went.
Right.
It was in Lisbon, meaning that people had to come from different parts of the country. Of course, we're a very small country, so 3-hour drive, it's like from one point of the country to the center where Lisbon is, so no big deal. And then you would have people come, and they would want to see the Darth Vader uniform, and they would want to see Millennium Falcon model, and that was a big, big, big success. And it still is. If you have a Star Wars exhibition now, again, everybody will go.
Okay. But you still think the films... are the nucleus of all of this. If it's mainly the films, there are some people that are interested in these other things, but you don't have the widespread costuming groups and stuff like that you have in this country.
No. And also because for our generation and the generation after me, meaning the people that have 40 or 30 years old right now, that was never for us a reality. Like, for example, my younger brother, he's totally into the cosplay stuff.
Right.
But that's normal because he's 20 years old and he's been living with cosplay universe for 10 years now. So, but for a lot of people, no, we never developed that. Let me give you another example. For example, we never had like this craziness about buying books or even the comics. So it wasn't like there was like a big search. Of course, again, there's a minority of people or a group of people that did that. But most of the people were like the movies, and then there was that big hiatus until the prequels. From that moment on until the prequels, I didn't saw, at least me and people that I know, it was more like resignation. It was like, we lost Star Wars. This sucks. But it was like, I need more. I need my fix.
Right.
I need to look for new stuff. But then, of course, everybody was ecstatic when we knew that George Lucas was going to do the other three movies. And as we are now ecstatic with the fact that J.J. Abrams are doing the new episode.
That's not a whole lot different than it was in this country. And Tim has explained this very well on our show, that from the mid-80s till about the re-releases of the original trilogy in theaters here in 1997, there was a huge dry spell. It was at least 10 years. And he tells this story very well, and he's told it several times, that, and he was a lifelong fan, but it kind of went away, like you said. And he was walking in a mall or on the beach or somewhere, and he saw a girl wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. And he got very excited, probably partly because it was a girl.
With boobs.
Yeah. It doesn't take much for Tim. But
I'm on Team Tim.
You're on
Tim. Team Tim. Oh, crap. That's hard to say.
Yeah. You're a Tim supporter. With boobs, yeah. That's probably what it was. It was probably more of the boobs than anything. But he became very excited that it was like, oh, people, I remember him saying this. I can hear him saying it. People still care about this. And it was heartwarming almost to him. Like, I still care about this. She still cares about this. There's probably other people that do. And then shortly after that, the special editions came out, and we all went crazy. It was like we were all small children again. But yeah, Tim became so excited about this. So that really wasn't a whole lot different than it was here. Now, when it came back with a vengeance, and it exploded everywhere. We camped out, basically, even though we all worked in movie theaters, to watch these movies at midnight with 400 other people on a big screen, and we cheered and we teared up, and it was like the good old days.
Hold on a second. Are you on drugs or something? Did you cheered and teared up with Jar Jar Binks?
No, with the 97...
re-release, I'm sorry.
The re-release. The crying for Jar Jar was totally different.
I was kidding. Don't worry about it. I was trying to make a joke.
Yeah, no, it was... And then we were excited, like you said, about what we thought was coming.
Or did you teared and did you cheer when Greedo shoot first?
Well, I'm not saying it was flawless and there weren't problems, but it was fine. Did the re-releases reach all of Europe, and did it get to Portugal?
I must say that in Portugal it went very discreet, meaning that it was announced. And everybody was like, well, it's pretty much the same thing with more spaceships, right? Yes. Well, then I'll let it come to DVD and then I'll watch it at home. So it wasn't like people rushing to the movie theaters to see, you know, a couple more Dundarks running around or so, just some stuff like that.
Okay.
And then of course, you know, the Greedo shoot first was one of those things, and then hand stepping on the tail of Jabba. So actually, I think, again, maybe it's like a more of a thing for the Portuguese people. We don't like to dilute our experiences. Okay. It was a great experience, and then from then on, we'll start getting a little suspicious.
All right, I like this way of thinking, though. I'm not making a joke. Like I do feel the same way.
Let me give you an example, like Terminator. That was a great example. When Rise of Machines came, everybody was just like saturated already. We were like tired. We're like, oh no, no more. Like another good example, Crystal Skull.
Okay.
Everybody was like, why are they doing this movie? Stop! It ended perfectly with the Last Crusade. What are you doing?
So do you think, would these movies not do well at the box office in Portugal?
They didn't. It wasn't like as spectacular as the original ones. But of course, it was, peanuts compared then with the new... with the prequels, because the prequels, for a moment there, I thought you were talking about the prequels, because here in Portugal, when we knew that Phantom Menace was coming, it was just pandemonium.
Okay.
We were not like actually physically camping, but it was just craziness of, I need to see this as soon as possible, because everybody's talking about it. Well, I remember when I saw it, I pestered all my friends because of the Boonta Eve race. Oh, you guys got to see this. This is freaking amazing. It's
right.
Greatest thing ever. So that was a lot of enthusiasm. And then died up a little bit with Attack of the Clones. And then, of course, everybody was just like crazy to see how we were going to have Darth Vader.
Okay. So, but this goes back to what you said again. This is the movies, and that's more the concentration. Because I mean, the things that I'm going to ask everybody about is the costumes, the video games, the books, the toys, and you're basically saying not a big deal over there. Okay.
Like for example, I remember with video games when we finally started again, because of things getting a little late here in Portugal, when we're starting to have finally some nice consoles. For video games, we start playing Battlefront.
Right.
But it was like this residual thing because not a lot of people could actually afford not only the console, but the video game. Because the video game, it's freaking expensive here in Portugal to buy a video game like that. We're talking about, 60 euro for the European listeners or like $50 for our American audience.
Okay.
And it's not easy because, you buy the console, it costs 300 euro, $250, and then you have to buy the game. And then, you play it and it's cool, but not everybody can have it. And then there's so many other things to catch your attention. So again, when Battlefront came, it was this big success, but for a very, more elitist part of our society.
Right.
Okay. Now, 20 years, almost 20 years after, the consoles and the games are way, way cheaper. But the offering, it's so vast that everybody, wants to play as much as video games as they can. So it's not this cult movement again.
Right.
When people, like, for example, sometimes I listen to you guys and you guys are like, oh, I had a Star Wars games for this console and then I had a Star Wars game for that console. And then we don't have that experience per se.
Right. So that's not a worldwide or at least a maybe European commonality between what we do and y'all do.
Mm. Right. Like, for example, the Lego game.
Mm-hmm.
If I talk with my brother again, the younger one, he will be able to describe it and say if he enjoyed it or didn't. But it's not going to be like his eyes are going to shine from pleasure, like, oh, the Lego video game. And apart from that, from that group of young men, if you talk about people who have 30 or 40 years old, they won't even know what we're talking about.
Okay. What are movie theaters like in Portugal? Back when the original movies came out here, we had one screen theaters, then you start maybe getting into two, and now we have multiplexes. We have theaters in my area that have 24 screens. I mean, it's like a space arc of movies that you just walk into and you're just like hit over the head with. What's going on? Are they still like old-fashioned style theaters, or are you getting these multiplexes?
That's a great question, because there was certain intimacy when we watched the first saga because of the movie rooms. A movie theater is not a good expression, but let's use it from now. Mm-hmm. Because of the movie theater, you know, a little less open, a little more closed, no popcorns, the very comfortable seats with a lot of leg room, and you can see over the head of the other person. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, you know, America, I love America. Don't get me wrong. It's my adopted country and I love it and I'll defend it to death. Okay. But we imported a lot of crap from the United States. And one of them was malls and multiplexes.
Right.
So now if you go see the movie, someone is like chewing popcorns from one side, the other ones are eating chocolates on the other, the only one is on a cell phone behind you. You have, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sitting in front of you, and it's just terrible because it ruins the enjoyment. So what you do is just you try to select a couple of movie theaters. I'm from Lisbon, so I can talk about Lisbon. You try to select a couple of movie theaters. You go there, maybe the screen is a little smaller and the sound is not as good. But I prefer that than to just go see, you know, in a big screen, but everybody's behaving like assholes, which happens a lot here in Portugal.
Okay, so that sounds like a common thing too.
Let me interrupt because I just remember this very cute story. In my opinion, when I went to the movies and saw to see the Return of the Jedi, that scene with the speeder bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Speeder bikes, and when they go through the forest, there's that moment where you see that big tree that is fallen, and Luke Skywalker goes below the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see with a couple of friends, and again because the movie theater was smaller, some of my friends they actually sit in front of me, and I remember vividly even today, it was a cousin of mine. When that scene happens, when Luke Skywalker goes below the tree, my cousin actually looked backwards towards me, but he was not seeing me. He was actually seeing a tree fallen, and he was just trying. And this, I'm sure in his mind, he was got like, woof, I just escaped a good one. So again, there was that intimacy that was so quaint.
Yeah, that's a good story. That's the way I feel about it.
I sound like an old man now. No. At the old times.
Well, I think that's inevitable for anybody that's that's around our age. Did you say they didn't sell food in the theaters at all?
True.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yes, trust me. There's like one or two in Lisbon that survived, and you can see that. You can imagine that there's like this large group of people that only goes to that place. I'm actually one of those, because otherwise you were just massification of selling crap for people that go to the movies. That's like 20 years from now.
I would go to that theater too. I worked in movie theaters most of my life. Mm-hmm. And I never to this day, I mean, I know the answer is money, but I never understand why they sell food in movie theaters at all, and why they chose the food that they choose, because it's the most noisy food. The candy wrappers, the ice in the Coke, the popcorn. I mean, they might as well give you gassed up chainsaws to take into the theater with you to run during the movie, because you cannot hear anything. My son and I went and saw Dawn of Planet of the Apes yesterday. And It's you cannot help but be distracted by everything else that's going on in the theater. And that's why people don't go to movies as much as they used to. It's too expensive and it's noisy, and I'll just wait and watch it on my couch and make my own noise.
Well, and that's a great point, because nowadays with big TV home sound surround systems and big TVs and so on and so forth, I'm actually like, I'm on Team Dave on this one. And let's just speculate for a second. The episode 7 comes out, and everybody's just going bananas again, as it's going to happen here in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to the movie theater and some dumb asshole is sitting next to me and he's talking on a cell phone saying how how awesome the movie is, I'm going to clock him. I'm going to punch him in the face, and I'm going to make him bleed from his nose.
Wow.
I kid you not, because I'm an atheist, but this is almost like what it is, as close as it is for me for a religious experience.
Right.
You're going to go there, and it's like your mass and your church, and it's going to be, you know, something that you veneer, something that you adore. And it's going to be ruined, like you said, with the candy wrappers, with the popcorn, with the cell phones, and the
yep.
It's tough times for movie enthusiasts.
It is. But it's something that you have to put up with.
Can you buy greater good?
Can you buy a beer in a movie theater in Portugal?
No, actually, it's just soft drinks.
Okay,
and water.
I'm just curious about that too.
Maybe they want to prevent a lot of fist fighting, so they don't do it. Portuguese people are heavy drinkers per nature. Not like Irish people, but we enjoy our beer.
Okay. Well, there's another thing I have in common with Portugal then. I was going to ask you, because you brought this up a couple of times, about the dictatorship. Do you think that had Star Wars come out you said, when did the dictatorship end? 1975, you said?
1975.
Mm-hmm. So do you think if Star Wars had come out before that, there would have been any kind of censorship or blocking of a movie like that getting there? Like, maybe my question is, what kind of movies were being shown during the dictatorship?
Wow, that's a great question. I was 5 years old when democracy was installed here in Portugal, and I was not in Portugal because I was born in France, in Paris. My parents, my mom and dad, they were immigrants there. Mm-hmm. So we actually moved from France to Portugal because of the end of the dictatorship and the beginning of democracy in Portugal. Okay. So I cannot tell you, you know, for firsthand experience how it was it, but I can tell you that again, there was this massive coordinated effort from the dictatorship to make people as poor culturally as possible. Okay. So we did have movies, but it were like movies from, you know, Portuguese movies and maybe a couple movies from France, maybe a couple movies from England at most. And I don't know about censorship. I do know about censorship in writing stuff. That I know. There's this like this cultural story about what was called the blue pencil in Portugal, where the people that did the censors, they will censor a lot of stuff that come from abroad. But I think movies was like more than they wouldn't even let the movies arrive in Portugal.
Okay.
And then in 75, it was for a period we had the communists. They took over, and then I remember we had a lot of crap from Russia and Bulgaria and Romania and so on and so forth. Things that clearly, it was very obvious they were not going to catch up here in Portugal. And then finally, again, in the late 70s, Star Wars were, yes, late 70s, beginning of the 80s, then we opened up big time.
Well, that's interesting, because I hadn't even really thought about what that would have done to pop culture, like something that we would call it here, in a country where there was a dictatorship.
I don't know about Star Wars, but this is going to sound really, really corny and funny. And for all our listeners who don't know what the TV show Dallas was, just go to the internet and try to find out. But actually, Dallas in Portugal was one of the precursors of people moving. People start going from the hard left after the revolution, meaning the Communist Party that had very close ties to the former Soviet Union, to a little more, you know, centrist, socialist, social democratic vibe to it, because we were watching Dallas.
Right.
And we were like, gosh darn, man, those guys have this wonderful hats and great cars and, you know, big houses. And if we look at what comes from Russia, we just see from Soviet Union, we just see like little turbaned cars and little streets with little really shabby houses. So I don't know if anyone in Portugal ever made like a thesis on that. But I remember me being like impressed. Like, for example, I'm a big NFL fan nowadays. I'm actually here in Portugal. I'm the announcer for the NFL games on our sports network. And it started because when we had Dallas, the initial footage, help me out, Dave, the first minutes of the show.
Yeah, like the intro. They fly over.
They show the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I was like, what is that? What are those lines in the field? Because, of course, I'm from Portugal. We do only play soccer here. Right. Like, what are those lines, those numbers? What is that? So I went and started looking on the American newspapers as they would start getting to Portugal, like USA Today, I remember. And I was like, oh, American football. Cool.
Yeah. That's funny. So a soap opera led you to football.
Well, it was the beginning of it, yes.
Okay.
And then there was also some overtones with Star Wars, getting back to Star Wars. Was a little bit of overtones that did resonate on New Hope, because it's a revolution. It's a rebellion. It's fighting a bigger power and an evil one. So I think that there was this... also a lot of enjoyment and enthusiasm, because it was a story that did mean something to us.
That's an amazing point. And I wouldn't have even thought of that growing up in a democracy like we always have, that a story like this, as silly or not silly as some people may perceive it, that people who grew up like people pre-1975 did in Portugal would take that out of it.
Yes.
That's an amazing point. I mean, it's a rebellion, and there are people in the world who either want one or are in need of one. True. And that kind of stuff. I'm glad you brought that up. That's an excellent point.
And we all cheered when Luke Skywalker hit these photon torpedoes and the fucking thing exploded in the sky, and we were like, yeah, baby, 4-1 for the good guys.
All right. That's great. Now, I always ask this of anybody that I ever talk to on the show, and I know you're prepared. Who is your, since we talk about the obscure characters on our show, who is your favorite obscure Star Wars character?
I won't call it an obscure, because he actually has some screen time, but I love Watto. I think Watto is one of the most interesting characters, because of the way, especially the way he interacts with Qui-Gon Jinn. I repeat over and over on my daily life, the credits will do fine. No, they won't. Credits will do. I love that scene, and I love the way that Watto has that attitude where he's a punk, and he acts like one, and he has no problem, and he's in a very good negotiating position. He has power to negotiate. So I remember seeing Watto and thinking to myself, this is a great secondary character that they developed. And even today, when I see Watto on a screen, when I re-see the movies, I always enjoy his performance, even if he's not really there, but...
Very good. All right. Well, we covered him. We're going to call him an obscure character, because we did do an episode on him, so he counts.
For Matt that is listening to this, also, I'm okay with his favorite obscure character, the man with the ice cream cone. Again, here's the cultural difference. When I got to Star Wars in Character podcast, I did find out that he was running around with a nice cream making machine. Yeah. I did not know that. So I was like, okay.
I didn't either.
And of course, Wedge. Wedge and Tillis, he's the man.
There you go.
I'm kissing your guys' asses. Like, no, really, really obviously.
Well, we appreciate it. All right, well, I want to thank you, Ricardo, for joining me today, for not only giving us the Portuguese perspective of Star Wars, but for some of your great insights here. And it's been a thin slice of heaven, that's all I gotta say.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.